Welcome to the Quest Podcast, proudly presented by the Muscular Dystrophy Association as part of the Quest family of content. I'm your host, Mindy Henderson. Together, we are here to bring thoughtful conversation to the neuromuscular disease community and beyond about issues affecting those with neuromuscular disease and other disabilities and those who love them. We are here for you to educate and inform, to demystify, to inspire, and to entertain. We are here shining a light on all that makes you, you. Whether you are one of us, love someone who is, or are on another journey altogether, thanks for joining. Now let's get started.
Yasmin Keats is the executive director at Open Style Labs, or OSL, a national design award-winning nonprofit organization initiated at MIT in 2014. OSL is dedicated to making style accessible to people of all abilities. Yasmin comes into this field with her own experience of living with a physical disability and has a background in graphic design, architecture, and creative learning. Such an interesting background. Yasmin, thank you so much for being here with me.
Lovely to be here, Mindy, and thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking about doing this for a while, and I'm so glad to get a chance to sit down and chat with you a little bit. You have such an amazing organization, and I know MDA has worked with you all in the past and on projects and things. But, you know, before we jump into, you know, a lot of specific questions, can you just tell us a little more about Open Style Labs, what you all do, what programs you have, and just kind of the mission of OSL?
Yeah, of course. So Open Style Lab was started in 2014 out of MIT Age Lab. And with the real mission of how do we educate the next generation of designers to know how to do inclusive design with people with disabilities and not for them. So that was kind of our foundation is in education. And we run a program which is around 6 to 10 weeks long, it can vary, where we bring occupational therapists, people with disability or elderly, designers from all different backgrounds, and engineers together to design functional wearables, garments, clothing, products, experiences, but with a focus on style and beauty and, you know, how these products can do something past just function, which I think we all feel in our day to day, you know, the way that we use an iPhone or, you know, and what we choose when we go on a date or for a job interview, that it's not just the clothes that we wear, but it integrates into kind of our identity and our style and who we are.
I love everything that you just said. And I particularly love that you talked about creating style and fashion, not for people with disabilities, but with people with disabilities. I love that perspective. And it's sort of that nothing for us without us kind of mindset. And I think that that's so important because you have people all the time who I think are, you know, maybe well-intentioned, but they don't know what they don't know. And I feel like inclusive design in any industry, it's so important to include the people that you're actually designing for to make sure that you cover all the perspectives. And so I just had to stop and tell you how much I love that. So tell me about your role with Open Style Labs as executive director. What do you do?
I joined Open Style Labs 3 years ago, originally as a researcher. And I always say it was such a wonderful way to come into the organization because my job for the first 2 years was just to talk to people with disabilities from all over the world about their experience. And I was at a stage in my life, I was late 20s or mid to late 20s, where I was starting to figure out how to feel comfortable and to talk about my own disability. So in a way, it was very healing and it was also very humbling because you started to see kind of across the board all the different challenges, which made my own look very small.
Yeah.
And it gave me that foundation, which I think makes Open Style Lab what it is, which is the community. So then I went on to work as the educational director, where I ran the summer program that we did in 2022, which was a really wonderful experience. Last year, I was very honored to take on the position as executive director.
Yeah.
And what that's shifted in my day-to-day is I think I'm a lot more focused on, you know, where do I want Open Style Lab to go? Mm-hmm. And it's been wonderful to also have the support of the board. It's like having three mothers.
Yes.
and really thinking about, you know, how do we expand Open Style Lab's mission and create more impact and bring more people with disabilities on board in this mm-hmm. journey as well. Mm-hmm. I have an amazing team. I guess I'm doing less of the interviewing one-to-one of people, which I really loved from the research. So I kind of made it a rule of I'd love to set aside some time once a week just to talk to at least two people in the community so that mm-hmm. it never loses that groundedness. But yeah, a lot more administration, but it's I do love it, and I love the team, and it's really exciting to think about what is the future.
Yes. Well, and I feel like I've known you for probably about a year, maybe a little bit longer now. And you're very humble, and I know how fantastic you are and what you bring to Open Style Labs. So you're wonderful, and you've shared with me some of the vision for how you're expanding and some of the things that you're doing. And it's all really, really exciting to hear about. And you mentioned a summer program. And if I'm not mistaken, I think MDA participated in that a couple of years ago, and members of the neuromuscular disease community were invited in or maybe applied to be part of that program. And they actually, I think, got to bring one of their visions to life, you know, and actually create some things in an adaptive way for the style world, and see what that process was like, I think, to actually get to have an idea and bring it to life.
Very often when we do a summer program, we'll team up with a nonprofit, and it was it was wonderful to be able to team up with MDA. Mm-hmm. And I think you brought your community, and we brought the designers and different participants together around focusing around how can we make that particular year was around clothing and style and fashion, which I think is the main crux of Open Style Lab. We started in style and clothing. I'd say style and not fashion, because fashion is trend.
Oh, okay.
And we feel style is more about linked to identity and you know, your the way in which you navigate the world and express yourself. Mm-hmm. But we started in style and clothing because I think it was, no one was doing it really 10 years ago, or it was very, very rare. And unlike a wheelchair and a staircase, where when you see that, it's quite obvious that mismatch. As you're aware, Mindy, you don't want someone to get dressed in the morning.
You're right.
And unless it's you personally or a loved one, it's a very rare act to witness and to understand. And it's those daily daily acts, daily routines, daily practices of you know, just putting on clothing that can be a real barrier for many, many people in the community. And not even just putting things on and off, but also choosing things and being able to have access to items that can fit your body and also not cause you harm.
Right.
A lot of the time.
Yeah. And one thing that you also mentioned a few minutes ago that I think is really great is you said that you involve and work with occupational therapists, which is great. You're getting so many different perspectives from, you know, the community itself, but then also occupational therapists who, you know, part of their job is helping people learn how to do things in their daily life. And so they're, of course, very familiar with, you know, how a wheelchair user, for example, may put on a pair of jeans and what the struggles are and those sorts of things. So I love how broadly you look at the style world and try to solve the problems. It's all very interesting.
We absolutely love OTs.
And, yeah.
And they're deeply so good. Appreciate them. Because I think OTs we've identified them as people within the professional community that look at the holistic view of the person. Mm-hmm. And the aim is not to fix, it's to enable you to do all the things that you want to do.
Yes.
And so they are a slightly different breed.
It's true.
Call them that. And they really, you know, we also say they're the original hackers.
Yes.
Because often they have had to hack on the fly and, you know, repurpose and redesign things to get something to work mm-hmm. with their client. And so they understand the importance of what we do. So there is a mutual appreciation. And when OTs and designers come together, there's a lot of magic.
I bet. One of these days, I want to be a fly on the wall and be part of one of those sessions. It would be so interesting. Let me pause for just a second. And there's so much to talk about with you, but I do want to ask about, you know, we've mentioned that you also live with a physical disability. Do you mind just sharing a little bit about that? Of course, you know, so many of our listeners have their own disability. And so I asked for a couple of reasons. First, you know, I think that it probably lends some additional expertise to what you do because you really understand, you get it, the landscape. But also, I always love to ask successful women how, you know, sort of a bit about their journey and how they got to where they got to today and what they had to, in some, you know, in a lot of cases, the challenges that they faced and had to overcome in order to reach a level of success for them. Because, you know, there could be young women listening who are just starting out their careers, or maybe they're still in school. I love sharing those stories.
Definitely, you know, as many of our listeners will know, it's part of you, you know.
Yes. Not all of you, but part of you. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'll talk a little bit about that later, but I, you know, how much it defined, I'm doing quotation marks,
yeah.
or, you know, was part of me or accepted part of me or not accepted part of me has, you know, changed over time. And morphed in different ways, and I'm sure it will continue to do that, how my disabled identity interacts mm-hmm. with the way I do my work and life. But I was born with, my mother had chicken pox when she was pregnant with me. Super rare.
Wow.
And actually my symptoms are kind of quite similar to polio. It's often been compared.
Uh-huh.
Where I have nerve damage in the whole of my right leg and my lower back. So it affected whatever was growing at the time.
Okay.
And so I wear a leg brace and I walk with a crutch. Mm-hmm. And my right leg has very little feeling and is a lot thinner and atrophied than my left.
Okay. Okay.
So that's a kind of overview about my disability.
Mm-hmm.
But in also a background, I came from a very creative family. So my mother is an architect. My grandmother was a sculptress. And
wow.
Her mother was a painter. So you know, whenever I was in and out of hospital a lot when I was a kid, in and out of different wheelchairs and mobility aids, and it was something that we always really cared about was, you know, how can we make this beautiful, or how can we make this experience a little bit more joyous or colorful, or, you know, I'm, you know, coming up with different solutions. And I also, you know, from having months at a time where I was kind of couldn't go to school or things like that, it actually also gave me the space to learn to sew, to paint, to kind of have those creative outlets. So I did see how the space that the disability life gave me allowed me to go into those fields or harness those things, and my family. And then when I was 18, I went to study architecture. And I was the only physically disabled person in the whole school. And that is very primarily due to the school was not accessible in any way. It was an old Georgian building in London, which, if you've ever been to one, is just narrow corridors and stairs galore. You couldn't even get into the front door if you were in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, at age 18, I didn't have the language. I didn't have the kind of maybe the confidence to ask. And so I just went along. And the toilet was either on the very top floor or the very bottom floor. So every time I needed to go to the toilet, that was also half an hour excursion.
Oh, good heavens.
Coming back. I ended up, I now see that it's really shaped my view about what we're doing at OpenStyle Lab, because we're looking at education. And, you know, I even gave a talk at a university a couple of months ago. And I even went back to my old university after 13 years and still not accessible. And another place I went to, they couldn't even get the lecturer, a friend of mine who is in a wheelchair, who uses a wheelchair, even up onto the lecture hall. So because the elevator was broken. So, you know, kind of iterates our mission, which is, if you can't even get people with disabilities in the door, just talk to them. How are we going to get people with disabilities to become designers in these institutions?
Yes.
Or give them the confidence that they can access those spaces. And I have seen wonderful examples of more and more spaces that are, you know, being more accessible, you know, as time has gone on. But there's so much work to do.
There's so much work to do. And yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. And I think your advice is wonderful. And, you know, if there are young women listening, I think it's so important to know that you're allowed to ask for what you need. And I think that if you've got ambitions and goals and dreams for yourself, I just never want to see someone back down from their goals and their dreams. And I think you're right. I think it's about finding the confidence at a young age to be able to, you know, almost kind of advocate for yourself and make it known. And if you advocate for yourself, it's only going to benefit other people down the road as well.
Definitely. And I know this is probably for a lot of listeners as well. You know, disability, I think it's the only minority that you can kind of be born into without anyone close to you also having.
Yes.
And so I actually didn't really know anyone close to me that had a disability till I was a lot later in life.
Yeah.
I think it made it harder. It made me feel like I just wanted to not make it a thing.
Yes.
Which, you know, looking back, kind of, I would never give myself that advice.
But, yes.
I don't believe it anymore. But I know as you know, there was that struggle when I was a teenager in my early 20s on how much this, in quotation marks again, defines me, and how much, you know, it is a part of my life, but also not. And it took me a while even to get into this work.
Right.
Because, I was worried about it becoming my whole identity, but at the same time, It is a part of life, and it's a part of everyone's life. We're all gonna have, we all have bodies. We're all gonna have challenges with our bodies.
Yeah.
And also through integrating and talking and being part of such a wonderful creative community, you also see how, you know, so many people that you meet with a disability, they've had to become so resilient and problem solve in a way that you never would have thought of. And it's such an exciting space.
And it is.
Regardless if you have a disability or not, it's such
absolutely an exciting space. Yeah. And I will say that I personally feel like adaptive style is having a moment. You know, I feel like just the awareness probably thanks a lot in to what Open Style Lab does. I think that so many people, more people are aware of the needs of kind of a bigger community than style and fashion has ever designed for in the past. And I personally am starting to see more and more stores carrying things, more and more designers and brands who are making it cool, and are designing really beautiful quality things. And I think it's really exciting. And in fact, I also just have to mention really quickly, I think it was it last year that Open Style Labs did the first of its kind fashion show that included the SMA community, spinal muscular atrophy community, and all of the clothes were designed by Open Style Labs with people living with SMA. The models were people living with SMA, and that was really exciting to see. I think it was during Fashion Week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the first runway show that was just dedicated to this community.
Yes.
In New York Fashion Week, I think it was in Spring Studio. So it was also an amazing production.
Yeah.
Which matters, because I feel like, you know, it needs to have the same quality in that way.
Absolutely.
Or it's important to have that. And it was such a wonderful year. This was 2022. That was my first year as educational director.
Uh-huh.
And we had fashion designers from all over the world come with the SMA community from SMA My Way. Which was showcased, I think, in New York Fashion Week, and it was in New York Fashion Week calendar as well,
yeah,
in the center of New York City. So,
so
it was a
cool.
Great moment.
I know. I wish, I'm just going to put it out there, I wouldn't mind if you did it again, because I live with SMA and I would love to design some clothes and come be in the fashion show. But
I will keep you in mind for future.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So let's talk about some more of the thing. Like I said, there's so much to what you all do. A large part, you've mentioned gathering research and using that research and expertise to educate design schools and brands. Can you talk a little bit about the research process and then the education that you do and what that's all like?
Yeah, of course. So we've been doing research on a number of different things, and then either creating resources that we can kind of bring all that together and give back to the community. A lot of it goes on our Instagram. So kind of research of, like, you know, what is different adaptive brands that are out there, or bags, or how to tips around Halloween costumes, or, you know, a lot of what we do, you'll find a lot on our Instagram. We also create journals, which are a combination of many different subjects. So we've done one on workwear, we've done one on pants, on undergarments, shoes, on media representation, and it's our way of trying to bring in, you know, secondary research and our research together, as well as different things happening within the community into a concise way that then can be resources to design students or, you know, different designers or people within the community to learn more about what's out there, because we found that there are very little resources, especially around this subject, and told and produced in a way that is kind of accessible from an educational point of view as well.
And you are going directly, I know, to the disability community for your information. In fact, you've approached me a couple of times, and I think we've, you know, put the survey, your surveys out there in the hands of the neuromuscular disease community to give feedback on, like you said, things like shoes and what their challenges are and those sorts of things. And then do you mind talking a little bit about more on the education side? Do brands and design schools and things, do they come to you seeking the information, or do you have to do a lot of outreach to get them to listen, or do you find that they're really wanting more and more of the information?
We find that they're wanting more and more to work in this area, and it's been wonderful to see that there has been this kind of organic interest in inclusive design and working with the community. And so that's been, I think it's all been organic. And so that's been wonderful to see.
That's so exciting.
That has evolved. And yeah, we hope it will continue to grow. And I think it's also, it's a way of, I think, seeing where the industry is going in that way. And I think we see it going in a positive direction.
That's fantastic. So let's talk more about that. My next question I wanted to ask you was, you know, the sorts of innovations that you're seeing show up in industry as a result of people listening to this community, innovations that you're seeing or new trends for function, anything that really particularly excites you that you're seeing start to emerge?
Because there's many different ways. Like I know that you'll understand this as well, Mindy, is that, you know, it's not just doing one thing in this space. You've also got to look at the shopping experience, the way that people with disabilities are represented.
That's a great point.
Education of designers. So there's many different like waves in that sense. Like I think we saw a lot, maybe more representation in advertisement, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. And more recently, or like 10 years ago, and then now it's more, we're seeing actual products that are coming out. And so you start to understand that, you know, that's deeper work within an organization, that they've done that. I think what I'm excited about is just that it's being normalized.
Yeah.
Just that it's becoming a thing. And it's not
that
like
gave me goosebumps.
You know, you're not thinking, this is, I think, the less excited we get every time we see a new brand bringing something out, that's better in some ways, you know, that it's just a given, that inclusion and inclusive fashion is part of their line or part of their, you know, their way of designing. And that, you know, with the diversity, equity and inclusion awareness, which has been so wonderful to see, I know that the disability community has often felt like we're the last ones, or we've been kind of left out of the conversation a lot of the time. And it's wonderful to see that it's becoming more and more, I think what I'd just say is normalized. Let's just normalize it.
I agree with you. I love that. And I think that you're right. You know, I think more and more we're seeing, you know, people with disabilities in advertisements, and you know, it's we still need more of that, and like you said earlier, there's still work to do, but it's becoming a little bit more common to see that in advertisements and on television, and to see people considering like you said, the shopping experience in retail stores and things like that. And I think that that's so exciting, in addition to the fact that this is an industry where you get to a person, disability or not, gets to express who they are in such a personal way. I think it's an industry where it's so very important.
Definitely. And I think clothing is the closest thing to our skin. And
yeah.
You know, one of the first things that people see. And so it does have a lot of effect on not only how we feel, how we're able to kind of move through the world, but also mm-hmm. how other people see us.
Yes.
And it has a real ability to change stigma, I think,
yes.
within around disability. Clothing is very powerful, and
it is
one of the basic needs. You know, we need food, we need clothing, we need shelter. Fashion is not frivolous. It's not.
It's an extension of, I mean, in addition, like you said, to being a basic need, it's such an extension of who we are.
Completely. And it's also very linked to social inclusion as well.
Yeah.
Like when you think about going to a wedding or being part of a uniform or a job or, you know, these moments in your life are often celebrated by clothing.
Yeah.
And being able to take part in those moments as well to the full.
So true.
I'm just going to say one last thing, which is what I've often heard as well, is that, you know, often with a disability, you are put in situations where you don't have so much control around things in your life. So I feel like a lot of what I've heard is that clothing and fashion and style has the ability to help you control your narrative, or gives you that autonomy. Of how you want to be represented.
So good.
And, you know, not always, but it is just a tool for that.
Right. Oh, I love that. That's so insightful. I've never heard it quite put that way. I do want to ask you, and I wish we had two more hours, but I want to ask you, I think, two more questions before we have to wrap up. I want to talk just a little bit about kind of the future of Open Style Labs. And, you know, can you tell me a little bit about how you're expanding, or what accomplishments you're most proud of, or what you're looking forward to in the next year or two with Open Style Labs? Are those secret, top secret?
Not top secret. So we're opening a branch in London, which is really exciting. You know, it'll be wonderful to see how the two cities can work together as well, what they have to offer. This summer, we're doing our summer program around footwear, which I'm really excited about because we've never done that before.
Oh, great.
And we have a few projects in the work thinking about just how can we expand our program. And how can we get it to more places, more people, through many different means, and continuing to kind of have that mission of awareness. And for me, it's also very important that we leave those spaces for we have a workshop on Saturday. I don't know when this is going out, but this Saturday on June 1st, around dining with style and dignity. And these are workshops, which also a call out to anyone in your community. We hire people with disabilities to run the workshop if they have an idea. And want to bring something that they think they want to talk about, that they think is important, or, you know, often not talked about. And so this one's going to be run by an amazing woman called Monique Stemp. And she's bringing on two friends of hers. One is a chef and one is a sommelier, and how both wheelchair users, and talking around, you know, designing fine dining experience or the dining experience and what that means
as
someone with a disability and how to do it with dignity, and not just from an accessibility point of view, but further that. So, you know, I want to say I'm also open to, you know, different topics, different collaborations on, you know, what to focus on next. We, you know, we've done a lot in clothing and fashion, but there are a lot more areas that have the same texture in terms of look at style and self-expression that maybe isn't just focused on fashion, but is maybe focused on performance and, you know, many different areas in your life and how style integrates into that.
That's wonderful. That's so exciting. And of course, we're going to put information in the show notes about how people can, you know, get in touch with you or Open Style Labs if they do have ideas for you. So that will all be in the show notes. So last question, what is your hope for the future when it comes to access to, let's focus on adaptive apparel for those living with a disability? Or should we focus on apparel? Maybe we shouldn't.
You are the change makers.
Mm.
You know, you're the most untapped resource of creativity. And you know, the problem-solving skills that you have, the way that we constantly need to adapt to situations that aren't designed for us and be creative. I guess I'm just trying to say is that you're part of, you are part of the solution. You're not.
Yeah.
And I don't think settle for being made for anymore. It's about being part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hope. I hope to see more disabled voices at the table, leading the conversation. But also recognizing that, you know, disability is, and what I hope for everyone else is to recognize that disability is not something separate. It's a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about designing for people with disabilities. It's about designing for all of us and for all of our futures. And how do we bring people along board with us on this journey? Not alongside us, but not like a separate lane, but with us. And, you know, start the conversation that I'm going to say again, normalizes it. You know, it's about, you know, this is just a part of life, and working in inclusive design practice and methods just produces better design. We've seen it again and again, and out of the box thinking and, you know, innovation. And in a world where I think a lot of the design industry is, you know, grappling for meaning, especially in the fashion world, this is a way in which, you know, you can look at innovation in a completely different way, just through collaborating with this community. And I see a lot of possibility and excitement for the future of this. But people with disability need to be in the room.
Agreed. Oh, so well said. I can't think of a better note to leave this conversation on. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you. And I know that we'll be working together again. Just thank you for your time and for being here today and sharing more about what you do and creating some excitement for our community.
Thank you very much, Mindy, and it's always lovely to talk with you too.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about the guests you heard from today, go check them out at mda.org/podcast. And to learn more about the Muscular Dystrophy Association, the services we provide, how you can get involved, and to subscribe to Quest Magazine or to Quest Newsletter, please go to mda.org/quest. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you'd leave a review. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button so we can keep bringing you great content, and maybe share it with a friend or two. Thanks, everyone. Until next time, go be the light we all need in this world.